Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. And today is the first week of March, so we're changing up theme. I was going to do strictly female superheroes to celebrate the release of Captain Marvel this coming Friday, March 8th. But I'm still going to go with ladies, but I'm going to do comic books featuring strong female characters that aren't necessarily superheroes. I could have done things like Wonder Woman and obviously Captain Marvel. There's tons of different ones. Spider-Girl, Spider-Woman, Batgirl, Batwoman. Trying to think of superheroes. There's a Green Lantern that's a lady. There's a bunch of different ones. Anyways, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to mix it up. I'm just going to do strong female characters in comic books. Not featured in, but starring. Because featured in could be a lot bigger, but I want to go more of the straight leads. They are the lead characters of the series. The main characters too, not like, oh, they're in a lot, but they are the main one. So if you want to read ahead, so today's episode is on Paper Girls. Then we're gonna have next week is gonna be Bitch Planet, Sex Criminals is week 3, and then Monstrous will be week 4. So if you want to check those out, you can read them. I think you can read almost all of at least the first volume of them on Comixology Unlimited. Again, not a sponsor, but it's a pretty dope-ass service if you don't have it. Sorry, I set the microphone with that. I had it up. Paper Girls. I was rereading Paper Girls, so it's on my Comixology still. Let's see. Bitch Planet, which is a fantastic book with a awesome name. Can you get volume 1? You can get volume 1 and volume 1. All right, you can get volume 1. That's a good start if you want to check it out. So Bitch Planet by Kelly Sue DeConnick is available on there, so you can get that on there. Let's see. Next up is Sex Criminals. I just realized all of these are Image comic books. That's funny. I read a lot of them. You cannot get Sex Criminals. Why is that only volume 5? That's fucking weird. Well, you can't get Sex Criminals as part of the service. You can definitely get. Maybe you can't get all of Sex Criminals on there. That's weird. Well, Sex Criminals you have to find in print, apparently. Or buy it from Image. I don't even know if Image is going to have it, tell you the truth. They have their own app, too. And then Monstrous, which is a fucking dope-ass fantasy book. Not also available. I own all of them, so I don't have to read them digitally, but can you get that? Well, you can get it on there. It's just not part of the unlimited plan. So you can check them out there, but you can also go to your local comic book store and pick them up as well. But I highly recommend all of those. Hence the reason I'm talking about them. But yeah, you can. So you can check them out before I talk about them in the weeks to come. But today we're talking about Paper Girls. Paper Girls combines several things that I love. Brian K. Vaughan, who is one of my favorite writers of all time and a wonderful human being, as far as I can tell. Includes the 80s, which if you know me personally, I love the 80s. And I will be talking about 80s movies next month. I haven't decided what they are yet. Someone asked me some of my favorite 80s movies. So I was going to do them this month, but I decided to change it up because I've been talking a lot about movies lately. I thought I'd break it up with some reading stuff. So I will be talking about 80s movies next week. I've done 80 movies on here before. So I don't know which 80s movies I'm going to do. Someone said I should do 80s romantic comedies because we were talking about Mannequin the other day. I say we. people I was with at the time, not us here on the podcast. But I was thinking maybe I'll do something with Mannequin because I do love that. Plus, it gives me a reason to rewatch it. And, you know, I don't really need a really solid reason to rewatch it. But I may rewatch both and just talk about both. Anyhow, that'll be next month. So I haven't figured it out yet, but 80s movies will be next month for sure, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Well, I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot of stuff that comes out next month that's could have related topics I could talk about. Anyways, we'll talk about that. So it has Brian K. Vaughan. It has 80s. It has science fiction, which is obviously one of my favorite things. And it has teenagers who use bad language. Those four things alone, if you would have told me, well, if you would have started Brian K. Vaughan, I would have been in right away. I'm like, oh yeah, Brian K. Vaughan, here's my money. Just give me whatever it is, and I'm gonna devour it and love it because he's never written a thing I haven't enjoyed. Even stuff that didn't actually have real words in it, Pride of Baghdad would be one of them. But Brian K. Vaughan is amazing. I love him so much. This also features, oddly enough, the only, right off the top of my head, comic book colorist I can name. His name is Matt Wilson. He is fantastic. His coloring is... He's done so many things. If you look him on Wikipedia, it's a fucking shame because they're like, hey, here's a selected biography, and it's just a drop in the hat of the shit this fucking guy has done. If you want to see what all he's done, you can go to one of two places. You can go to Grand Comics database or Comic Book DB, which is Comic Book Database, and look on there. You can also go check his art on DeviantArt, but he doesn't have a lot on there anymore. As well as just go to Image Comics, you'll see a ton of stuff there. But he's worked on so many major properties from all major companies, DC, Image, Marvel. He's worked on Boom comic books. He's worked on Dark Horse comic books. I believe he's worked on Dark Horse. I want to say he worked on Dark Horse comic books. Real quick, I'm pretty sure he has. This list is way too long for me to actually go through. But I'm pretty sure he has because he's worked on so many things. But Matt Wilson's an amazing colorist. Two of my favorite books. One is Paper Girl that he's done. I also love his work on Wicked and Divine. One of the best comic books out there. That's he talked about, I'm sure, because it's always there. But it doesn't get the fanfare it really deserves. It certainly shows. It's so good. But he does so many. Ongoing books right now, he has Wicked and Divine, Cry Havoc, which is not. They don't do a lot of them. I think they've only done 20 issues in the last 5 years. But anyways, he's got Paper Girls, the Mighty Thor, which I believe is this is last year on it. I could be wrong. I think I saw something, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, he did Star-Lord. It's not ongoing. And he has Runaways right now. It's ongoing. So he's got five books that are ongoing, which are crazy. And his colors are so amazing. And he's done so many amazing things throughout his very short time in the industry. But he's phenomenal. Matt Wilson's coloring is phenomenal. And then Cliff Chang is the artist in this book. Cliff Chang has a lot to do with the style of this book. And its amazingness. His art is emphasized even more by Matt Wilson's coloring, but his art is pretty fantastic, and he's worked on stuff across the board as well. Everything from Batman to... He's done a lot of DC stuff. He did Batman, Nightwing, Green Lantern, Supergirl, Superman, if I'm not mistaken. He did Wonder Woman. These are all interior stuff that he did. than he did for cover wise. Ooh, puppy, he's done so many things. Again, the mainstays in DC: Batman, Batgirl, Green Lantern, Green Arrow. He's done Outsiders. He's done, again, Wonder Woman, Flash, Shazam, Birds of Prey, Detective Comics, so many there. He's done G.I. Joe books. He's done Teen Titans books. He's done, I want to say he did, yeah, Ant-Man, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man, Deadpool. He's done a bunch of covers as well. His art's pretty phenomenal. Brian K. Vaughan, I've talked about on this podcast before. And we'll talk about him again coming up here later this year, I believe, when the release of Why Last Man comes out, which is one of my favorite books by him. I would say second favorite book by him. I'd say second favorite book, because I think Ex Machina is my favorite book by Brian K. Vaughan, followed by Why Last Man, then Saga, and then probably Paper Girls. And then probably gonna be Runaways. Runaways. I like Runaways more than I do his run on an Ultimate X-Men or X-Men in general. I think I do. I think I like Runaways more. Anyhow, that's it for that. I like a Swamp Thing too, but I prefer, I don't say prefer anything else, but it's not on my top of the stuff that he's done. That's the stuff. That's Brian K. Vaughan. We'll talk more about him later this year when the TV adaptation of Why Last Man gets ready to come out, which might be fucking terrible. We'll find out. I'm gonna keep my hopes up that it's not terrible. Anyways, Paper Girls, which is not terrible. So, real quick synopsis. I'm gonna read this synopsis directly for you, and you can see why it's fucking crazy. So, anyways, so really, really quick. So, it's about four newspaper delivery girls, and it's set in 1988. And that's basically the thing. A lot of people I've talked to, I will say, if you're a fan of Stranger Things, if you're a fan of the Goonies, if you're a fan of just sci-fi in general, this is definitely going to be a book you like. Or if you don't like those things, it's not a book you like. But you should check it out because it's pretty fantastic. It starts off with... I'm going to read the synopsis. So Aaron Tang, a new resident of Stony Stream... is recently hired paper delivery girl. While out delivering newspapers in the early hours of the morning of November 1st, 1988, Aaron meets Mac, KJ, and Tiffany, a group of friends and fellow paper girls who invite Aaron to join them. The girls are soon attacked by a group of teenagers on the way to the teens steal a walkie-talkie from Tiffany. The girls subsequently chase the group to a construction house and find what appears to be a time machine in the basement. They are then struck by mysterious energy emitting from the machine. The girls learn that the teenagers are time travelers from the distant future who are engaged in an ongoing war with a group known as the Old Timers. Also known as the battle, in a war known as the Battle of Ages. At the center of the conflict is a question of whether or not the past can and should be changed by the future time travelers. Throughout the series, the girls are frequently and usually inadvertently time displaced, traveling between the 20th and the 21st century, as well as eras of the distant past and future. As they travel through time, they encounter future versions of themselves and are forced to come to terms with who they will become or later become. Their lives also become intertwined with those of Wari and Joe. I always read it as Joppo, two old timers who lead the war against the future their future descendants. So basically, there is this thing called the Battle of the Ages, which is a time traveling war between the old timers and the future teenagers. The crazy thing is, the future teenagers are literally their relatives from, like, the old timers' relatives from the future. It's insane. There's a lot of cool references to 80s stuff. There's this really cool moment in the very first issue. Yeah, when they first run into I call them time teens. They call them, what do they call them in this? The future teenagers? Yeah, future teenagers, time teens, whatever you call them, future teenagers. And one of them drops something, they pick it up, and she's like, what is this? It's got a weird symbol on it. It's not a symbol, it's an apple. And they hold it up, and it looks like a futuristic, like, iPod or iPhone. It's pretty hilarious. But there's a lot of cool stuff that I'm sure Cliff does it. And maybe some of it might be references to what Brian talks about in there, but there's like movie posters and like records. You'll see stuff that reference stuff from the 80s, like when Aaron has a dream in the very first, which, by the way, the opening two pages will set the tone for the tone really for the whole thing. And it's Aaron waking up on the moon, meeting I can't think of her name right now. Krista, some, can't think of her last name. Krista, I just read it too. Terrible. Anyway, she was one of the astronauts on the Challenger space shuttle when it blew up. And she says, oh, you're in heaven. They're on the moon. Aaron has a little thing about space. And so, she's like, oh, yeah, your Graham's here. And she's like, what about my sister? No, your sister's in hell. And you're like, whoa, shit. She's like, what? And she's like, you still have time to save her. And then she turns, and it's like in a school, and her sister's tied to a chair, and there's a giant, like, demon-looking devil thing. And he's like, I'll set your sister free if you answer one question. And he gives her this multiple-choice question. And she's like, no, fuck this. And you're like, what? And she's like, what did you say? The angel's like, what did you say? And she's like, it doesn't matter. I've had this dream before. I can say whatever I want in the dream. And then you see the cuts of the devil, and the devil's like, wrong answer. And he stabs the little sister through the face with its pointy finger. So that kind of sets your tone for the shit you're going to run into in this book. It is crazy. It's ramped up to 11D. But again, it's just a lot like the way that the Goonies is, with a squad of them doing things their way. It's also very much like Stranger Things with the supernatural stuff and the teenagers. Preteens and that one, teenagers in this one. And just like the aesthetic in the 80s is obviously very much like the Goonies and Stranger Things. So it's very, very similar to both of those things. But if you like those things, I highly recommend this book quite a bit. I like it a lot. And I think that's where I'll stop before I start spoiling stuff. Because you meet their future selves, like I read in the synopsis. One of them even travels with the girls, helping them. You jump so far in the future, it's like 11,000 something. You meet a bunch of crazy characters. A lot of crazy shit happens. There's a lot of, like it says, coming to terms with their future selves and who they're going to become. And so some of the girls get to see that. So little things like that. It's just an amazing book. You should check it out. If you want to give it a shot, You can buy the trades. There are five trades as of right now. The last one just came out in December of last year. They're on issue 25. Came out literally October, and it restarts actually tomorrow, which is another good reason I brought this up. Which is actually issue 26 comes out the day you're listening to this, which is March 6th of 2019. And then if you like the hardcover books, like you want physical books that are hardcover, issue or volume one is out now, which covers issues 1 through 10. And then in April, just a month from right about now, volume 2 comes out, which is issues 11 through 20. And then I'm going to guess somewhere in 2000, well, maybe later this year, because he'll do the next five. So it'll go to 30, will be out by July. He'll probably do 25 or 21 through 30 might come out later this year. I want to say because, they took a while, actually. Trade 1 came out. It came out a month after the first arc ended. It shouldn't be too bad if you want to get the trade. The last trade should be out later this year, probably somewhere around August or September. And then maybe the third volume of the hardcover. But anyways, so you can pick those up. I think issue 1 is only like $10, or volume 1. It's like $10 if you buy it digitally or print. But either way, you should probably do that. But if you have Comixology Unlimited, you can read the Volume 1. I think Volume 1 and 2, I think is what I saw on there, are on the Comixology Unlimited. And if you like buying digital comic books, Comixology is a great place to buy books. And they're actually the people who run the digital subscription services through, I think Marvel, DC, and Image Comics are all go through Comixology. So might as well just go to Comixology and get them. So all in one place. But the cool thing about that, again, not a sponsor, Comixology Unlimited is pretty awesome because you get a wide variety of stuff to check out. Image just dumped a ton of stuff in there. DC's actually part of it now too. They just dumped a bunch of good stuff. And it's cycling through. But if you like reading comic books, but you don't want to have to buy them, the digital platform is very great, especially if you have a nice iPad or even on your computer. Your phone you can read them onto. It's a little harder on your phone. But with Guided View, which is one of my favorite things about it, is it kind of lets you – it shows you where to go next, and it's a very cool way of doing it. You should check that out. Again, not a sponsor. I just really like that platform. And I'm one of those people who will tell you what I like, just in case you want to check it out too. And maybe one day I'll get a sponsorship from them. Probably not, because I don't think they listen to the show. If they do, I'm ready to take your money and talk about your stuff more. As for what I'm reading besides comic books, and I'm behind on my comic books because I've been reading and playing video games. Playing video games, by the way. I've been playing Anthem. I've been playing, for whatever reason, the Division 2 open beta, even though I played pretty much all of the Division 2 private beta stuff. I just love Division so much. And then next week, Division 2 officially comes out, and I'll be playing that as well. And I'll be going between Anthem and that as much as possible. Mostly playing Anthem because of the guys, all four of them have it. All four of us have it, and we're trying to squad up quite a bit. But I like those games. Anthem's really, really fun. And Division's it's the new one's looks to be, so far what I've played is amazing, so I really like it a lot. Let's see, what else? I finished The Passage, finally. I've been mostly listening to that one, which the audiobook is like 36 and a half hours long, which is ridiculous, but it's so good. I didn't know what to expect. I've talked about on here. The first book was so good, and then the ending is just a fucking punch of the gut. God damn it. Justin Cronin is, he does such a good job in that book, and it's so fucking, it's so much fun. It's tense. I don't know how else to say it. It's just so, so, so good. So I started actually the 12, which is book two, because I want to read all three books. So it'll be my next three. Depends. If I get through this one, if I get through the 12 and Mirror City, I believe it's called, is the third book, I should probably tell you. I want to try to finish all three before the end of the month, because the end of the month is the new Expanse book, and I'll be getting that for sure, because I love the Expanse. And this season four is supposed to come out fairly soon. Maybe nice if it was this month, maybe next month. But all three seasons of the Expanse, first three seasons, are now streaming on Amazon Prime if you have that service, which you should. Let's look up this real quick. This author, Justin Cronin. City of Mirrors is the third book in the Passage series. The City of Mirrors, yeah. So the 12 is where we're in now. City of Mirrors is the third one. So far, the pacing of the second book is a little better than the pacing of the first book, mainly because of the jumping to character to character, which is way different. And it's not so much the narrative change, it's just the way he structured the story arcs for each of the characters so far is different. And it's cool because it's actually, it goes back and explains other parts of the outbreak and things like that. So pretty awesome. But I really, really love the first book. And that's why I jumped on the second one right away. Cause I needed to know what's going on after that gut punch in the end of the first one. And it didn't soften, by the way, when you find out, cause the main narrative of the character or the characters story from the first one jumps ahead 5 years, and it is rough. And then it goes back in time to other characters, which I'm guessing plays into it, because you learn something about one of the characters you met in the first book that you really didn't meet, or if you did, I did not pay attention enough. But then he reiterates it in the second book. So listen, pay attention to the names and the characters, and a lot of stuff he tells, because he foreshadows a lot of stuff, which is pretty cool. And then he can plays on that throughout the book itself. So that's it for this week's episode, everybody. We were talking about Paper Girls. Next week, if you want to read ahead, I'm going to be talking about Bitch Planet by Kelly Sue DeConnick, and Valentine. I can't remember the artist's last name. Valentine something or other. I can't remember. I had it up and I closed it. Bitch Planet by Image Comics. You can get it wherever comic books are sold, online or whatever. So check it out, and then we'll talk about it next week. And then I'll tell you a little bit about. I'll give you my. My ruling, if I liked or not liked Captain Marvel, because we will be seeing it Thursday. We'll talk about it on the main podcast too next week, but I will give you my short, I'm not going to say review, I fucking hate reviews, but short opinion of what I thought about it next week here on this particular podcast, which is called The Awesome with Cody. And once again, I am Cody, and as usual, let's be awesome.